A reading from Micah chapter 4. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall decide for strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more, but they shall sit, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all the peoples walk, each in the name of its God, but we walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No matter the outcome of Sunday's Super Bowl between the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks, one message is very clear. Winning is exhilarating, joyful, and memorable. But losing is disappointing, jarring, and lingering. When a team loses, people will scrutinize and question players and coaches for what they did do or failed to do. Pete Carroll will always be blamed for a long time for that last goal line interception. In fact, so lingering is a loss in a Super Bowl that of all the 49 Super Bowls ever played, only two teams who lost the Super Bowl the year before ever returned to win the Super Bowl the following year. Can you guess those two teams? The 1971 Dallas Cowboys and the undefeated 1972 Miami Dolphins. Positive psychologists affirm that winning builds and increases confidence. Winning enabled the Patriots to come back in that game, being 10 points down in the fourth quarter to beat the Seahawks. It was also winning confidence which gave the former world champions, the Seattle Seahawks, the ability to come back and beat the Packers when they were down 16 points in the NFC Championship. Confidence grows whenever you win. Whether you win a team sport, whether you win an individual sport, whether you win a choir contest, whether you win a spelling bee, it grows even after you successfully complete a vicarage assignment, an internship, pass a Greek final, or finally pass your theological interview. In today's reading, we hear a winning message from a confident minor prophet, Micah, a contemporary of Isaiah. And he preaches here marvelous ultimate victory, comfort and triumph in the midst and on the brink of some very troubling, destructive times for God's people. Israel in the north was just on the brink of destruction, about to be carried away by the Assyrians and destroyed. And little more than 100 years later, Judah and Jerusalem would also succumb to Babylon in 586. However, before all of this destruction, death, famine, and long exile, largely due to Israel's spiritual adultery with idols and their failure to protect and serve one another with mercy and justice, Micah optimistically proclaims here in chapter 4 a victory on the mountain of the Lord. Micah preaches a victorious message, as does Isaiah, almost verbatim in Isaiah chapter 2. What can we, in a school of the prophets, take from these confident words of Micah and his example? Precisely this: be relentless, be consistent, and be optimistic. Micah was optimistic in proclaiming his message. He rebuked the false prophets who told fortunes to people for money, and to the church leaders at that time who tolerated idolatry. He consistently foretold that weeping, mourning, and destruction would come. But he optimistically held forth the good news. God has and is the ultimate victory, has the ultimate victory for God's people. He does not stay angry forever, but delights in showing mercy. This was not some type of wishful thinking, but a concrete word of promise and a certain message of hope that one day people would flow, people would stream to the mountain of Zion and to Jesus Christ, who is the temple of God incarnate. The law, or the Torah, which will go forth out of Zion, which Micah points out here and highlights, is Torah as in gospel. Just as the psalmist writes, "Blessed is the man who delights in the Torah of the Lord." Or Psalm 19, "The Torah of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." Jesus, the Torah made flesh, will draw all people to himself and quench every thirsty soul. And he proclaims that in Jerusalem when he says in John 7, at the Feast of Tabernacles, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Your Savior, Jesus Christ, is the Word who brings redemption, salvation, and righteousness to the people of God now and forever. There is no other God like him who pardons sin and forgives transgression. Micah was consistently confident in this and relentless in proclaiming the ultimate victory of God. Redemption will come, and it will come out of Bethlehem. Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old. Yes, the false prophets proclaimed peace when there was no peace. Micah and Isaiah, however, preached the law, called people to repentance, but also always the gospel, pointing to God's never-ending grace and mercy. Amid the moral collapse which we witness within our country, in spiritual lethargy, and even the violence that we see on the news, threats of war and ISIS terror, what Micah and Isaiah consistently and relentlessly and optimistically proclaimed will also be proclaimed by you. Jesus, in whom you have been baptismally washed, the living water for parched souls, leads you now. In him you are like a tree planted by streams of water. You have nothing to fear, because the good news is chief among the mountains. It is raised above the hills, and people will flow to it. So in the midst of all this talking about winning or losing, reflect on this. You are always winning. Be filled with victorious confidence as you consistently, relentlessly, and optimistically proclaim Jesus Christ in our contemporary context. Enjoy this study. Enjoy your work which you are pursuing, because the victory is yours. The Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. God's grace prevails. Christ's victory over sin, death, hell is eternally secure because of his cross and empty tomb. Let others walk as they may in the name of other gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.